QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday Net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater, 147.330 megahertz, plus offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. And hearing none, are there any announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. Alrighty, only one small announcement is we did have AM testing this last Sunday, and we have four new graduates to tech. Four more technicians out there, so next session will be the end of September unless we have a special session.
Internet.
I'm sorry, is there traffic there? Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. K6RG. When you ask for announcements, I'd like to have an opportunity for a short plug for a future theme or a topic, if I may so do so.
Alrighty. Usually you could email that to me, but go ahead.
Thank you. The latest issue of QST again emphasizes the importance of course, emergency traffic handling, and in light of all the calamities we've had on the East Coast and Alabama and so forth, they say traffic handling, and if I can put in a plug for perhaps it being talked about and practice, traffic handling is something that will be necessary to be more proficient during some sort of emergency that we may and probably will have. K6RG.
Okay, Harry, appreciate that. You know, and a little, I might mention this too, that myself and a couple others have been assisting Dave Jones with CERT. He's got a good program going on with actually the same thing, except not message handling, with communications in emergencies and some training and procedures using the FRS radios and the ham frequencies. So anyway, we've had a couple of meetings, and it's coming out pretty good, so we'll work further on that and see what we can come up with. But these are all positive steps in the right direction.
Thank you. I'm through.
Okay, anybody else out there with any announcements, please come back to KF6Q. All right, hearing none, topic for the evening. Basically, we've been covering a lot of different things for emergencies, and I think we've gone over batteries and backup battery systems. Tonight, we're going to go over something that may even be a little bit worse than that, where we were without power for quite some time. So this will be sustained backup power and different methods for that. This is very important for ham radio. If you have backup batteries, they're only going to last so long. So we're going to look into some alternative energy methods, some things that are out there, a couple different things that you can have on hand, and things of that nature if we're without power for, say, weeks and more. So that'll be the topic for this evening. Arnie, now I'm going to call roster. These are the people who've been very loyal and been out there every week. And we would give them recognition by calling their names out here. Don't know if he's out there this evening. He did say they had to work late tonight. We'll give him a shot. WB6CLZ, Mike, be out there. Okay, nothing heard, and I'll bet WB6CIN is probably with him. Cindy? Okay, nothing heard. They did email me about that. KA6CIA, George.
Good evening, Tom. KA6CIA.
Thanks, George, for being out there, and good evening to you. And how about KE6RJ, Harry?
Thank you, Tom. KE6RJ, Ian Shimeloff, and so is Nancy, KE6QI4.
All right, Harry, Nancy, glad to have you out there. Let's see here. Maybe he's out there, hopefully. KI6SKN, Chris.
Good evening, Tom the Net. Ready for this evening.
Hey, Chris, glad to have you out there this evening and appreciate that. Let's see here. We got KJ6HZS, Mike.
Get in, Tom, the neck. KJ6HCS, no traffic.
Hey, Mike, we'll give K6EKX your data courtesy check in here. KJ6FIL, Mike.
Good evening, Tom, and the group. KJ6FIL, down here in Hot Redlands.
Mike, try to stay cool, that's all I can say. How about KJ6KDL, Jim?
Roger, KJ6KDL here with KJ6KDK Rosemary.
Hey, Jim and Rosemary, glad to have you out there. Appreciate that. Quick call here for W6GZI, Frank. And yeah, nothing heard this evening. How about KI6IQA, Kelly? And yeah, nothing heard. K6GVL, Ron in Green Valley. Nothing heard. How about N6BOP, Ann?
This is N6BOP. Thank you for calling me. Have nothing for the net.
Hey, Ann, thanks for being out there in Pomona and listening in this evening. How about AD6PL, Harold? Harold, maybe you'll check in later. How about K6LCS? Quint.
K6LCS, Arupa Valley.
Okay, Quint, thanks for being out there. How about KJ6MFO up here in Big Bear City? Yeah, nothing heard from Jay there. I'll see if they're watching Jeopardy or not here. How about W6JLM, Judith?
Good evening, Tom. I'm trying to watch Jeopardy, but I am going to check in on the net tonight and listen up. And Ken would like for me to check him in. He is not watching Jeopardy. He's out setting up tables for the garage sale. So he is busy, busy, busy. But I can see him out the window. This is W6JLM.
Okay, Judith, by the size of the yard sale you're having there, I can see why you're getting ready so early. Got a lot of work to do to set up, so. All right, good deal. Let's give old KI6OHN. John, you out there? Yeah, nothing heard. How about K6YNW, Chris? Uh-oh. How about KD6LAN, Bill?
Good evening, Tom. KD6LAN, no traffic.
Alrighty, how about AE6CK, Victor? And a third, how about KA6ROD, Rod? Nothing heard. I think think the heat's getting to everybody here. KB6LTY, Christy.
KB6LTY.
All righty, thanks, Christy, for being out there. Let's see here. We have a couple other names here, but NQ7RD, Rick and Corona. Nothing heard. K6TUX, Ski. All righty, and that concludes the list. Anybody else out there like to check in, please come back. KF6Q.
Kilo Juliet 6, spell me off. Are you not any better?
Ah, is that Ray?
Yes, it's Ray. Good evening, Tom. We'll be here listening.
Okay, Ray, I got you on the list. Actually, I got you on the main list. Just haven't heard you in a while out there. Appreciate you being with us. Anybody else out there?
KJ6MYV, Larry, Apple Valley, California.
Okay, that's KJ6MYE, is that correct?
It's Mike Yankee Victor, over.
All right, good to have you with us, and that's in Apple Valley. Anybody else?
Hey, D6UP, Louis, near East LA.
All right, Louis from East LA, appreciate you being out there. Anybody else?
KI6IQA.
The Kelly Meister. Hello, Kelly. Glad to have you out there. Appreciate that. Anybody else? Arnie. Anybody else can check in anytime. Perfectly fine. Well, let's see. Mike, who usually does the DX report, and we do get some information from time to time from Chris. Chris, anything that you've heard out there in DX? A good signs, bad signs, or any signs? KI6SKN.
Okay, I haven't been on the DHF bands too much here lately. Let's see, when was this? A few days back on the, 20 meter, I made a couple contacts with guys in France. Let's see if I got anything else on here. That was about it. Just two contacts in France, Tom. Back to you.
Oh, that's pretty good. And everybody out there, if you got a tech license, this is a DX report. Get your general, get out there, start talking to the rest of the world. Pretty cool. A lot of fun. Anybody else out there, anything to add, please come back on the DX report. Ernie, I know the sunspot activity has been way down, and that really kind of limits that. So, well, we're going to move right along to our HAMSAT division with Clint, K6LCS. What's out there in the LEO category?
All right, from the Tech Talk Tuesday Satellite Bureau, you hear me say this every week, but AO51 is deteriorating, but it's working incredibly for us the last 7 weeks. So if you want to work a little LEO with just a handheld, it's 145.88 on the uplink, 435.150 on the downlink, almost 900 milliwatts coming down, and that's with one battery cell dead, one battery cell at 0.1 volt. Break for a sec. Arisat, the new satellite as of August 2 is up and about. All modes are working. The 145.95 downlink can be heard. You can hear the different voices of the kids in 15 different languages and some SSTV, some slow scan TV images coming down at 145.95. The linear transponder is working. It's a UHF up, VHF down. The CW beacon is working, 145.919. Break per sec. And the telemetry coming down on 145.92, sideband BPSK 1K telemetry is kind of exciting to watch. And if you're an insomniac, it's fun to watch all those voltage conditions and camera conditions come down. So, recapping, Arisat 1 for your FM folks is working. So is AO27. So is SO50, AO51 are all doing wonderfully for us. break for a sec. You sideband aficionados, work the transponder on AeroSat 1 or AO7 or FO29 or VO52. They are all up and running. Why VO52 is running, we have no idea. It's been up there for 20 years. We have no idea why that band, why that bird is still working, but it's doing really well for us. Please, if you're going to be down the hill in the Torrance area 2 weekends from now, HamCon is happening. Break. It is the annual ARRL Southwestern Division Convention this year in Torrance at the Torrance Marriott again, as it was 4 years ago. Their website is hamconinc.org. hamconinc.org. On Friday night, a free social get-together. I think it's like 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock at night. No admission necessary. Don't have to pay to get in. But it's a social couple hours on Friday night. There is admission fee, though, for the Tech Talks on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There's a EME conference, or Tech Talk. There's a, hey, here's this guy doing a how to work the satellites session at noon on Saturday. Standing room only the last two times I've done it at the ARRL convention. What else? Tech Tom, I think that's all I've got this evening. K6L, I'm sorry I'm so hyper. We just got through taping another Ham Nation on Twit TV, so Tuesday nights are really crazy. Thank you for the time. K6LCS.
Okay, Clint, appreciate that. And all that information is always great to hear from you, and you always have updates for us. That's what it's all about. So, anyway, topic of emergency backup power. We skimmed over lightly over the last few weeks of maintaining batteries and different kinds of batteries and what's out there. Batteries are really good. They will help keep up our radios for short outages. Eventually, of course, they will go dead. So we need a way to charge them back up. If we don't have line power or grid power back up immediately, a couple of the things we're going to start out with, of course, first off is something that we can all go out and purchase, and that would be a generator. A lot of different systems out there, a lot of doable systems. And then, of course, we'll get into fueling these generators, and we'll go beyond that. We'll get into a little of the alternative energy here after that. Got a call on Chris again. Chris, you have probably a very unique type of generator. It's not really a generator meant for generating, but you use it. Tell everybody about what you got going there, and it runs on gas, I believe, correct? Chris, real quick.
Yes, you're probably thinking of my old Lincoln Arc welder, very old welder, so old that the insulation on the wiring is actually cotton, to give you an idea how old it is. It's an old crank start, 225 amp arc welder, but it's also got a generator on it, an alternator on the end. And it's got a two-cylinder Wisconsin motor on it, and it just chugs along at about 1,800 RPM. And during power outages, I have used it here to charge up one circuit of my house, which is kind of nice. Is that the one you're thinking about, Tom?
Yeah, Chris, that's pretty cool. I mean, it's basically an arc welder, but a generator also together. Now, did you say it's diesel or is that gas?
No, it's an old gasoline rig. I don't even know how many gallons that tank is on that thing. It's pretty good size for that small of engine. Like I say, it's got a two-cylinder Wisconsin. I would estimate it, 25 horsepower or something like that. Maybe even lower than that at the low RPM it turns. But it's one of those old engines that's built like a rock, and it'll just run forever.
Good deal. That's a pretty basic thing there, and we're going to build on that a little bit, and we'll get into some of the alternatives. And I think if anybody was out there with us in Field Day, the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club on Field Day, we always run off of generator power out there. We always try to get the quiet generators. I think we've all had some pretty good results with you know, what we've had out there, and they do run. Sometimes they run all night. We got operators running all night. I'm not sure about the fuel consumption, but I'm going to take a stab at we probably go through maybe 10 gallons for the whole 24 hours of that, you know, per generator, and I think usually we run about two. So that's a very good operating system for, actually, I think we have usually seven stations. A lot of transmitters, and they really are well equipped with the generators we have. So I think those are usually about 2.5, maybe 3 kilowatts. So you can run a lot on just a little bit. Break for a second. Got another gentleman out there who's in the midst of setting up a backup system. Mike, KJ6FIL. I know we talked a little about this the other day. You want to just fill us in a little bit how you're coming with that, what is it, 10 kilowatt generator hooked into, I forget what you said, KJ6FIL.
Hey, good evening, Tom and the group. I haven't even started on it yet. It's probably going to end up being a winter project because I have so many other ones in the process. But I've got a 10 kW generator, and it's going to be hooked to a 250 Chevy with a bell housing, clutched. It's going to be frame mounted and everything to where it's going to be clutch system. And we're going to try to pulley it out to where the 10,000 watt generator is going to basically run off an idle off of the 250 Chevy. And it should be quiet and not use too much fuel. Beside that, we're also going to pulley it into a pump for fire suppression for up the mountain. On the front of it, we're going to have a hydraulic pump. Let me take a break. Okay, we're going to have a hydraulic pump on the front of the motor that's electronically switched that will run a wood splitter. So everything's going to be all in one unit. Put out 10 kW and just basically run off of idle, and we're going to go ahead and set it up probably propane, so it'll be natural gas.
Okay, yeah, that was going to be my next question, and because we know that one thing that gasoline will, after a period of time, go bad. You can put stable in it, and that helps a little bit. But now propane, that's going to be good pretty much forever. So what do you say, maybe about an 80-gallon tank or 100-gallon tank of propane, and that would probably run that thing for a long time as a gas.
Right now, I think I've got about 100, maybe 150-gallon propane tank come off the side of a big truck. So that's probably what we're going to tap into it. There's two different ways that you can run the propane, too. You've got a vapor system or you've got a liquid system. So, you know, I got to do a little bit more research on that as far as the liquid and vapor system. You know, once it hits the carburetor portion, it's all vapor. But like my forklift, my forklift runs on a liquid and then vaporizes it with a vaporizer. KJ6FIL, back to you.
Okay, Mike, yeah, I think they refer to those as high-pressure, low-pressure systems. A lot of times, after it's vaporized, it's a little bit of a lower-pressure system. So keep us informed how you're making progress with that. And, of course, it'll be an ongoing project with you, and we'll check back with you from time to time. A lot of I know there's a lot of kits out there. I mentioned this prior, to convert 12 horse and above and 12 horse and below kits for, say, generators or whatever, to do a dual fuel, actually run off of gas or propane. Pretty neat. There are some tri-fuel ones out there, too, for a few more bucks, actually run off of natural gas like from the street. A little add on that too, a few more bucks. So there's a lot of things there. We have to look at, well, as an example, with propane, and let me break real quick. This propane gas essentially does not go bad, at least to my knowledge. Pretty good. Pretty good over a good temperature range, too. Pretty stable. Pretty reliable. So I'd say is one of the backup fuels and sometimes a primary fuel. It's a very good system. Price of propane kind of follows price of gas, sometimes a little bit cheaper. Actually, the energy output, you know, gasoline versus propane, not too sure. I'm going to say propane is probably a little bit less, but definitely lasts a lot longer. I know we've had a lot of repeaters up on the mountain, not this one in particular, but other ones that always use propane generators as a backup. So, George, KA6CIA, what was the probably, I guess that's probably the worst thing you would have to worry about working on power lines is people with generators that backfed the system. Not good. Anything you could add on that?
Yeah, it is. The law requires that you have a, well, this is KA6CIA. The law requires that you have an open switch. In other words, there has to be an airspace when it switches from a grid power to your generator power or whatever power you run into it. There has to be a physical airspace so you don't backfeed. If you happen to hook your generator into your house and say you open your main, that does make an open, but it's not a visual one. And if that would happen not to work, it will backfeed out of your house, up into the power lines, into the transformer at 120 volts even, and will come out of that transformer, reverse the coils, and will come out in Big Bear, it would come out 2300 volts, and that would really kill a lineman. So that is something to be really careful about when you, a lot of people just plug their generators into their house, into one of the plugs, and backfeed the complete house, which is easy to do. But it is a danger there to other people. So that's something to watch for. And while I got it there, I could tell you a little bit what I have in my backup. I have four deep cycle batteries in series parallel. They're 6-volt golf cart batteries. The reason they're 6-volt deep cycle batteries are good for about 200 deep cycles, and the 6-volt golf cart batteries are good for about 500 deep cycles. So even though they cost a little more to buy two instead of one, they last over twice as long capacity in them. I have four solar panels that put out 13.2 amps in direct sunlight, but that doesn't happen very often, especially this time of year. Realistically, they put out about 7 or 8 amps. Let me reset. So that means if you're going to run like an HF radio, it's if you're just listening to it, it's about a 1 amp idle current on there. And if you're going to transmit, mine's set up to where it transmits, it uses about 5 or 6 amps. So the solar panels, even four of them, just barely do keep up with the radio. And if you use other things too, that's going to run the batteries down even more. Anyway, that's about what I've got here, and they will go on indefinitely because they'll charge up every day and stay that way, and usually you can keep them going overnight with no problem. Also have a 6 kW generator. Back to you, KA6CIA.
KA6CIA.
Hey, Errol, glad to have you checking in.
Yeah, I wanted to check in. Just before the net started, one of the good guys from RPD rolled up and wanted to know could he use me for cover while they did surveillance, and I said, go ahead, so I turned my radio off. He left, so now I'm back on 86 PL.
sounds like another story for another day there. Thanks for having you with us. Yeah, George, I got a question for you real quick. Now, you say those batteries are good for, say, like 200 deep cycles on that one type of battery you have, but you don't normally run them down that low because you've got them basically recharging. So that would only be if they had to draw for that, you know, once in a while. Is that correct? So you're essentially that they're going to last you a long time because you're not pulling them down that low very often, if much at all.
Yeah, that's right. I've been using batteries like that for about 30 years now, and I usually get about 8 or 9 years out of a set of batteries, and I'm careful not to let them deep cycle. I watch them. I can pretty much tell what I'm using out of the batteries during the day, and then they charge up by noon the next day. So you're right there.
Well, that's good. That's good to know. And, yeah, now you said, and you have a backup generator, and is that run on gas or diesel or possibly propane, or what do you have there? You said you're 6 kW.
That'd be gasoline. And that's one problem. I have an 80-gallon tank, but, you know, if that was to run continuously, I don't know what it uses a gallon, but probably or an hour. But I would guess at least a gallon. So that wouldn't last too many days. If we were out in a big outage that lasted a week or two, like maybe some of them are going to be back east right now, you would be out of gasoline before too long.
Well, I know from my experience, and we've had power outages down the hill and up here, and actually had more down the hill than up here. And actually, to avoid any backfeed, I would basically, I got a 5 kW, construction type, portable, not the quietest, but it works. Very, very reliable on startups. I mean, that thing will sit all year and start right up. Amazing how what the gas smells bad and it still runs. That's amazing. But anyway, using that, we simply attach, individual cords, short as possible. To critical items like refrigerator, freezer, let's see, some lighting. Oh, the most important, the television. A little joke there, sorry. But anyway, and that's good. And I think we've got a 5-gallon tank on that. I believe we could run about with a, you know, not a lot of loading because the refrigerator's basically not on all the time. The lights aren't on during the day. So I'm going to have to say basically I think about 12 hours with a light load. Depends on the load. The more load, of course, more gas you're going to use. Let me reset. You know, and that's, like I said, it's one thing to think about. Backup power, and if it's gasoline powered, I guess a good thing to put a little stable in the fuel to kind of, you know, help it maintain a little bit there. And that's what I have. Everything I have is gas-powered, and I'm looking into, as I've said before, converting over the smaller motors to do a dual fuel, gas or propane. And I could actually go straight propane, but I like to have that dual fuel thing. It's pretty handy. So anyway, anybody else out there, anything to add with just basic backup gas-powered generators? And we'll go beyond that in just a second. Please come back. KF6Q.
K6YNW.
K6YNW. Chris, and I knew you were out there. How you doing?
Okie dokie. Got in a little late. Sorry about that. In some cases, people put in separate plugs for their generator, and there's no confusion, or they just have extension cords to work it. But if it's really thought out, you can have plugs that are a different color than the normal one. In hospitals, what do they have, red? Something like that. It means emergency power. Anyway, K6YNW.
Well, good information there, Chris. And, yes, that's a good plan there, especially thinking ahead like that. And I think one thing also just to mention, like George said, I'm going to call it the old style, big one lever disconnect, actually definitely, I'm going to say like a double throw would be the greatest, where, you know, either your house is attached to the line or it's attached to your generator, but it's impossible for the generator to be attached to the line. That type of a disconnect is actually the ultimately safest for the Edison people anyway. Another thing to think about, if you happen to backfeed the grid, could definitely put a load so intense on your generator, it could very possibly blow that out. So, but we want to always avoid that, try to always think of ways to make that impossible for that to happen. It's the law, but it's also common sense, too. Let me reset. Well, as we look into actually what's going on back east, this is probably something to pay attention to. Definitely once in what was so many decades, quite a few decades, over, I don't know, half a century at least, of this occurring. Definitely something that could happen, and the chances of it happening were very slim, but now it did. Backup power. This is where they're at. We can study their what's going on back there with cell phone service, what's going back on there with ham radio, how that's helping. So keep your eyes and ears open to that, you know, and then we'll probably work on that as a topic here. See, as soon as we get more information, they get out of the woods a little bit. So, and we'll touch on that on one of the Tech Tuesdays. Let me reset. Well, yeah, as far as the alternative fuels go, and we're looking at something a little bit, say, even more catastrophic. If we had an earthquake, a very major earthquake, if it took out a few towers that even fed into the valley, very, very possible we could be without power for, there again, weeks, maybe even in measured in months. So got to think about different things that will last. Maybe difficult, as we know, when we had the big snow. We ran out of gas and diesel fuel up here very fast. It's amazing how much goes through a gas station. Most people have no idea. I've had one brother-in-law who works at a gas station. They would receive 10,000 gallons every other day. Of course, they were off of Highway 15, and it was a busy station. But that's 10,000 gallons of fuel or gasoline every other day. Let me reset. So in that mind, possibly different alternative ways. We've got propane. I have no idea how long a 80-gallon propane tank or gasoline tank would run a generator. You know, and that's one thing to think about. Of course, it's going to last a little bit longer. Got a friend of mine who's bought this item from Harbor Freight, and it's good for keeping your batteries up anyway, trickle charge. Possibly, if you're using a radio, you're not going to be transmitting all the time. You have to be intermittent use. Chris, tell us about probably the simplest solar cell in the world.
Okay, yeah, I picked this thing up, I don't know, last year or so, Harbor Freight. It's a small solar cell for keeping your battery up, keeping your battery charged up. And I've got a 12-volt battery here that, well, sitting in a car that never gets started up. And I just keep it hooked up to that solar cell, and it's always got plenty of juice in it. It'd be great to have something like that for a boat or any other type of vehicle or any spare battery you have around. You just set it out there, and the sun just keeps it nice and charged up. I really don't remember how much it puts out, but the thing works pretty darn good. Back to you, Tom.
YNW.
Okay, comments. First one, please, go ahead. Was that you, Harold?
All right, AG6PL. They do have something you take with you in your boat, in your hip pocket. It's a little bit large for your shirt pocket, but they have a roll-up solar cell that will charge up your HT, your cell phone, whatever small batteries, and probably will top off a 12-volt. Just lay it out, unroll it, lay it out, hook it up, and you're in business. AD6PL.
Oh, good deal. I know that the military's got a lot of that out now, and there was a guy who, he's working on this printable solar cells onto a Mylar film, essentially, roll-ups, great portable use, fantastic, and there's more to come on that in the near future, but great stuff. Chris, K6YNW, go ahead.
Yes, I got the Harbor Freight one. It's 45 watts. The controller isn't the best, but it does pretty well. That's about, you get it in sale, about $130. For about $600, you can get three 100-watt panels. That's 300 watts, and a controller go with it. Now, my place is burgled, so I've taken my solar cells out, unfortunately. No Edison at this place. But probably if I were starting, I'd probably get the three 100-watt panels. You can only use one panel if you want to. But anyway, K61W.
You know, and here's an alternative way of producing power, you know, provided we have sunshine, of course. And from time to time, we have a lot of that sunshine. And it's don't have to worry about running out of fuel. The fuel is the sun. So that's a very good way as an alternative energy method of backing up or charging up your batteries. You know, as we probably could get down to the point, no gasoline, no propane. But, you know, these are different things to think about. And I know there's a lot of others out there that are a little bit on the cutting edge, and that some of these are backed up by FEMA. One is gasifiers. That's pretty much a topic in itself, and we may cover that in another session. But, yeah, the solar cells themselves also are coming down in price. Why, I don't know, but they're getting better. They're getting more efficient. And like Chris said there, I know a while back, 300 watts would have cost you about $1,200, and now it's half that, about $600. So probably even see a jump even below that in the future. But, yeah, that's a good system, good for backup. Anybody else, any comments on solar for backup, please come back. KF6Q. Well, anyway, that's a good system. Like I say, they not cheap. And we know Mike, who's not with us this evening, has a couple of houses run off of solar. Incredible system he's set up over the years, and that's good. I think though both his systems are intended to be triggered with the grid. If the grid goes down, his go down. So something he's looking at in the future, possibly modify that. So. Well, anyway, yeah, we're just going to touch on that a little bit this evening, and I know that anybody who's out there here, I know in about 20 minutes, there's RescueNet. They also talk about the same thing we're talking about there over in Keller. Might want to tune in there and listen up on that, too. Anything out there, we're going to kind of close down a little bit early tonight, but anybody out there, any comments on backup energy? I mean, other systems or methods. We've got gas, propane, natural gas, and solar. Any comments as we're getting ready to close?
CIA.
Jesus, eh? Yep, IL.
Okay, we had CIA, GZI, and FIL. Go ahead, George first, KA6CIA.
Yeah, okay, I know everybody knows this, but I just remember that the battery is the heart of the whole system. If you have a large generator without a pull cord in it, if you can't start that generator, you're out of luck. The same thing with solar panels. If you don't maintain those batteries, keep them full of water, they will be dead when you go to use them, or they won't hold a charge, but only for a short time. So anyway, the battery is still the heart of the whole system, so keep the maintenance up, okay? K6CIA.
Very good point there, George. And just a reminder also, even lead acid batteries will kind of creep away a little bit. Yeah. So that's a good way to keep a maintenance charger on there if you can. Even something like Chris mentioned, that was a very low wattage actually battery maintainer, so it's a good thing there. So I think we had, was that W6GZI?
Yes, this is Frank. Yes.
out there a little weak this evening. You're not really holding the repeater, but, well, we do have you checked in there, so yeah, maybe you can get closer. Then we had KJ6FIL. Go ahead, Mike.
This is KJ6FIL. Anytime that you hear me on the radio, I am always on a battery power, which is never, ever hooked to 110-volt inverter. All my radio systems are one of two ways. My handheld is battery. The radio I'm talking on right now, an FT2900, is hooked up to batteries on solar power. And when I'm up in Big Bear, we have a 2900, and sometimes I take my my dual band up there, and it's all solar. Every radio that we've got is all connected to a battery. It has no AC connections whatsoever. Back to you, Tom, KJ6FIL.
Well, Mike, that's good to know, and I think for this evening, we're going to give you the green award, Be Green, low carbon footprint or whatever. That's a good thing to know. And I guess basically very possible. I know the one I'm on right now is actually a semi-portable backpack version, the 897, and I am running it off a power supply, of course, from the base station here, just to make sure that everybody hears. But that's good. One reason I bought the ASU 897, and I did buy the batteries that go in it. I've got the whole charge system. It only runs on, I think it's like 20 watts when it's on batteries, but it will run with a flip of a switch. Kind of cool. Bought it for that reason. And, it's self-contained. Of course, they'll only run for so long, but then, like you said, a solar cell of some sort. And the thing is, let me reset here real quick. Yeah, the KF6Q Tech Tuesday on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. A backup solar panel, whether it be 45 watts or 100 watts or 5 watts, unless you're using that radio, solid, which we don't, you're going to have a lot of interim time that the solar power can recharge the battery, because in that meantime, that sunshine is going to charge it back up. So good deal there, Mike. Glad to hear that. Anybody else out there? We're going to kind of close down here pretty quick. Any other comments about solar and backups?
Do you copy W6GZI now?
W6GZI, crystal clear.
Okay, well, it makes a difference if the antenna's on the radio. I took it off the other day during the thunder shower and forgot to put it back on. We have a motorhome, and I bought some golf cart batteries from Costco. Put them in there, and they didn't last very long. They lasted, I don't remember for sure, about 2 years. And I thought, well, gee, they're kind of weak now. They're not really working like they should. And so I checked, and the warranty was over. So I looked at the other batteries, and they have a combination deep cycle marine starting battery thing, one that does it all with the bolts on the top, and some of them are maintenance free, which is a lot less bother, but the warranty was a whole lot better on those batteries than the golf carts for some reason. And so I bought those, and dollar for dollar for a motorhome, they were better. Over.
Okay, roger that. And a little note about maintenance-free. Maintenance-free is good. However, it limits your access if you need to get into there. So just something to think about. And batteries, of course, will eventually need, unless they're AGMs, which is a glass mat or a sealed lead acid. Of course, then again, that's a little bit different, whole different topic there. But it sounds like you ended up with a good battery. Not sure why the golf carts didn't last. There's a lot of things that make batteries go premature. So that's a whole thing in itself. But it sounds pretty good, and I didn't really know that Costco had that good of a selection of stuff, but I guess I'm going to have to check that out next time I'm in there. So, real quick there, what were you transmitting off if you had no antenna?
Just old Icom 255A, but there was no antenna on there. It makes a big difference. But... yeah, Costco's got a pretty good selection of batteries, and I don't think I abused it, the golf cart, too much, but they needed more attention than the other batteries, too, over.
Okay, roger that. Yeah, and I know, I think I promised some emails out last week or two. And there is a rejuvenation method of magnesium sulfate. It has to be a serviceable battery to help desulfate them. Sometimes if they sulfate, it's a natural process. It will definitely happen. It's not a maybe happen. It's a definite happen. And if they do, the battery is still okay. It's got to get the sulfur crystals out of there, and there's two ways to do it. And that magnesium sulfate is one. And it can be done quite a few times, I guess, from what I understand. But, yeah, that's generally what will happen to a premature battery failure is they'll sulfate. And they can just go to a low charge and not get recharged quick enough, and that process starts. If it sits too long, it'll just pretty much go over. They are recoverable, though. I am in the process of recovering a couple right now, so... already done three or four. I think I mentioned that before. Having a lot of good success right now. But the first thing is the batteries were not in bad shape to start with. They had just sulfated. So very low charge, sulfated, and that was that. So anyway, good hearing you there, Frank. Anybody else out there, any other comments on emergency backup power? Please come back. KF6Q.
YNW.
XJVI, Sherrietta, 29 Palms.
Okay, first, go ahead, Chris, YNW.
Yep, at our fire station 56, we have a diesel generator. But anyway, Angel View had one, and they went to use it, nothing. In other words, if they're not started every 3 weeks or something, they're probably not going to be started when you need them. K6, YNW.
Okay, roger that. Yeah, good, especially definitely with gasoline engines and other types, too, so a little... Once a month start, and I know if you're in hot weather, it's better to do that once a week. I know I had very, very bad problems with, you know, in the Inland Empire, especially this time of year. We had one more person out there, I believe, from Ontario. Go ahead.
That was 29 Palms.
Oh, sorry. Okay, 29 Palms. Go ahead.
KJ6JBI, Sherrietta, 29 Palms.
Glad to have you out there. Anything to add to this? This is Tech Tuesday, and glad to have you with us this Tuesday.
Thank you. Yes, we have that solar system out of Harbor Freight, and we had a 17-hour without electricity emergency just recently. And the generator was hooked up to the refrigerator, and every time it would charge itself or charge up, it would kick the system. Is there any suggestions on that?
Okay, well, I mean, this is a good example of necessity of backup power, and of course, depending on how the different loads, you know, will be on the generator, have a lot to do with, you know, life, you know, how much, you know, you'll get off the fuel and everything. So, and all generators have a little bit difference of how they're going to handle any surges. So, but anyway, appreciate you sharing that information with us.
LAN.
Mr. Bill, go ahead. KD6LAN.
Yeah, two things. First off, guys that have generators, regardless of whether they're gasoline or natural gas or whatever, when you fire them up, don't just fire them up to run them. Put a load on them, because if you don't, you may wake up for a bad surprise. They'll run, but they won't generate any power. You want to put a load on them occasionally. Keep the brushes going and what have you. And I'd also like to answer the lady's question, or maybe give her some advice.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, I didn't quite get the whole gist of her question there, but go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, if your generator, depending on how big it is, if you have the house running and other things running besides the refrigerator, when the refrigerator kicks in, depending on how old it is, the surge on the generator, if it's, say, 15 or 20 amp plus, it may be too much for the generator, and it trips everything out. If you have other things running, turn them off, if possible, so that there's less load on the generator when the refrigerator kicks in. Once the refrigerator charges up and turns off, then you can, actually, you can unplug it and leave it unplugged for a couple hours or longer and use your generator for your other electricity. KD6LAN.
You're Roger out there, station N 29 Palms. Was that any help? Please come back. KF6Q.
KJ6JBI. That was great information. Thank you very much for your time. This is KJ6JBI Monarchy.
Okay, Roger that. And thanks, Bill, for that. Anybody else out there in closing? Any other comments?
KDL. YNW.
Hey, it's somebody on top of KDL first, and then YNW. Don't know who the first station was. We'll take KDL first, then YNW, and if there was somebody else before that, we'll catch you at the last there. Go ahead, Jim, KJ6KDL.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything yet on any comments on using a manual generator, either pedal power or hand crank. I know that'd be tough. In conjunction with solar to help charge batteries. Is that a passe or now considered unreliable thing to do, or is that something to consider?
Well, Jim, I'll tell you what. I do have a bicycle here, and I could gear that thing into a generator, and when I run out of power, would you like to come over and pedal this thing? I don't think it's unheard of, Jim, and that's a joke, I'm sorry. But the thing is, that probably is one method of backup. You have to keep in mind, I'd say here's a good example. I have a 5 or 6 kW generator may take somewhere between 7 to 10 horsepower as a guess. That's a shot from the hip. I'd have to look that up. Maybe 5 to 7 horsepower to turn that thing over. So the amount of power you're going to get from pedal power, human power, is probably not out of the question. It's probably just a matter of, you know, exactly, you know, what you're going to get. So I think that's the issue there. Yes, back to, let's see, K6YNW, and then I think there was somebody after that. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes, regarding the pedal power, if you have any kids, it's a discipline problem. No joking. The human being can put out about a half horsepower, maybe for a few seconds, 1 horsepower, but it's not going to make it for that. And a refrigerator, when it starts, has a tremendous load. Once it's running, the load is much less. So you could work it out where the thing starts and then have a, you know, maybe a relay when it starts, kicks everything off. I don't know. K6YNW.
Okay, good information there, and Chris, appreciate that. Was there somebody else out there also? Please come back.
Yeah, ZJ.
Ah, yes, go ahead.
Well.
Yeah, just letting you know I'm out in the woodwork there and enjoying the show tonight, Tom. Not much to put in there except for, let me see, I keep the old welder around, and I keep some, I've got a plug set up for it and everything to wire it into, if nothing else, the well panel for my private well. So I can go, if nothing else, I can power that up. But no need for that, actually, because I do keep about 4,000 gallons of water on hand in tanks. So I'm covered there. But I can power up either with my welder or a Honda 2000 watt generator. At any rate, just wanted to let you know, good show, buddy, and good to hear you.
Okay, guy, AF6CJ there in Rosemont, glad to have you with us. And I might have stepped on your mic. Was that you in there, FIL?
Roger that. Yeah, I was just going to comment on the other question about the pedal power and that. Been up the hill for the last couple of months, and I'll tell you what, sure looks like the squirrels are getting smaller, so you're going to have to get a ton of squirrels to get that cage moving for him to produce that kind of power.
Well, if we run them off, run it off of chipmunks, I do have about probably, and I'm not kidding, probably have at least two dozen running around here. They have taken over. They have finally discovered that the gray squirrels are gone for a while, and they are ruling the world now. So, but yeah, I think that was probably the main thing is they're looking for something that's going to run without somebody moving the thing. So, Jim, there you go. There's quite a few answers. So, before we close, any other comments? All right. Well, I think that's pretty much covered a lot of that on the alternatives and alternatives and any other methods of generating power when we're going to be out of power for some time. And then maybe we can get into some of the a little more off the wall. Just to mention, the gasifier is on the FEMA list for basically a possible method when all else fails of generating power. If you want to look into gasifier, probably going to be our topic for next week. So. Anyway, once again, I want to thank everybody out there who's joined us. Always appreciate all the information. It's a site for sharing information and pulling stuff together. And, you know, hopefully these people back east will be able to get their life back on track here pretty quick. So, good enough, and I hope we'll see you all again next week. So, QST, 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 this is Tom Fry, KF62, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday, net closing the net at, and let me see what time it is. It is 2000 hours and 3 minutes. Returning the repeater to normal use, and thanking once again for everybody who's checked in and joined us this evening. Please see you again next Tuesday. It's KF6Q. We'll be clear, but standing by.